Well, good morning. It is Thursday, March the 21st, and I don't know about you guys, but this week is flying by. I'm Susan Kent, and this is your wake-up call. Will you join me as we begin with our prayer of consecration? Wake up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. Praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today's entry is entitled Mind Over Matter. Hear now the word of the Lord from Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Now consider this: mind over matter. Why? Well, the mind is a powerful tool. We know that where the mind leads, our bodies and actions will follow. When we dwell on areas of temptation, and when we hold on to ideas which direct us in ways which are not holy, our entire lives can be dismantled because sin has taken root. Yesterday, we saw how the enemy will use regret to get us off course. And today, we see that he can use our thoughts, the thoughts in our minds, to do the same. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, he addresses a problem that we all have: controlling our minds. Like an unattended toddler, our minds can get us into trouble within seconds. Can I get an amen? We get distracted. We see something exciting. We get bored with what we have, and poof, our mind has latched onto something that it just shouldn't have. You know, the best way to steer a child away from what will harm them is to put something better in front of them, right? So remove the heirloom crystal bowl and replace it with a sturdy interactive book. Turn off the television show full of violence and replace it with education or music. The Philippian church was one of the first churches that Paul started in Eastern Europe, and they were facing a lot of opposition. Paul wanted to remind them that their lives were to be an expression of Jesus, and so they needed to keep their minds focused on Christ. If they could guard their minds, their actions would follow. So they needed to cling to thoughts which were true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. This would be a common encouragement of Paul, actually. I mean, he told other believers, like in Colossians 3, he said, "Set your minds on things that are above." And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he wrote, "Take every thought captive to obey Christ." And in Romans 12, he said, "Be transformed by the renewal of your mind." Jesus knew the power of our thoughts could lead us either towards him or away from him. When Jesus healed the paralytic who was lowered through a roof by his friends, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they began to question in their minds how Jesus could forgive sins. Though they didn't address Jesus directly, he already knew their thoughts, and he chastised them, saying, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart?" Jesus, he is everything that Paul listed for the Philippians, beginning with the truth. So if we're going to be altered by the Holy Spirit, we must surrender our thoughts and grasp hold of the truth of Jesus. When you begin to feel your mind wander, pull your focus back. Go ahead and read Paul's encouragement again and ask yourself if your mind is over all other matter. The prayer. Lord, our minds so often wander. We're tempted by what we see, what we hear, but we also know that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Guide our minds back to you so that what we do is a reflection on where we have focused our minds today. Amen. The questions. So what thoughts are crowding out the truth of God's words? And in what ways have your thoughts kept you from being fully committed to Jesus? And what can you do this week to replace those thoughts with what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy? For The Awakening, I am Susan Kent. Have an incredible day. I'll see you tomorrow.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.